And I'll tell you what, you know you're talking to a trusting guy when halfway through a conversation on a radio program being aired on 500 affiliates nationwide, he starts giving his phone number out. Oh, Bob. welcome back. Okay, so Bob, there's a number of things. I want to finish up with this. I mean, so far, that wouldn't have turned you from U.S. military to ET, not getting a rejection slip, in essence, from NID saying it's terrestrial in origin or something. That wouldn't have done it. So what did?
Well, when they told me all of this at Los Alamos, now the reason I went to Los Alamos was I still didn't know what to do.
Well, did you call Los Alamos?
No, what I did was I sent a picture and the story of my encounter to Unsolved Mysteries.
Ah.
And so they asked me if I would be willing to send the piece to Los Alamos, and I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to let it out of my sight. So they make a long story short, they paid for my expenses there.
Smart move, Bob.
And for the analysis.
Smart.
I said, I won't let it out of my sight.
Right.
And then the scientists out there, he really shook me up when they wouldn't touch it. And
Did they at all indicate why they were hesitant to touch
it?
No, they
didn't.
No, huh?
No. But they had to cut a piece off of the big end for some reason. Oh, I know why now. I found out later. But it's just a long, long story. So many things have happened. What we did was I let them take a piece of it. It took them quite a while to cut it with a water saw.
Well, some analysis is destructive, Bob. There's no question about it.
Well, they couldn't get the equipment in the piece into the equipment. It was too large.
Well, there's that, and they need very tiny samples to do. I gave some of Art's parts, and they same deal. It's destructive. I mean, you don't get it back.
Oh, they took the piece off the big inch, which is about 3 inches in diameter and about an inch thick. Mm-hmm. And then I found out later, don't need that much.
And so at the end of the day, one of the scientists there told you it was not of this earth.
At the end of the day. I had to go back to Missouri, and I asked them how long it would take to get an analysis. They said they couldn't do it in one day.
Right.
And they said he said 3 or 4 days, okay. The scientist. And if this is in my sworn affidavit in my polygraph exam.
I was going to get to that. I mean, you're in conflict with one of the scientists, and so you were given a lie detector examination.
Yes.
Who did that?
George Larby, Captain George Larby, he's still with the Springfield Sheriff's Department.
Now, is this something you volunteered for?
Yes.
Yes.
I did two of them.
Two lines.
And I passed both of them.
Okay. Was at whose behest was it?
Well, the first time was my board of directors at the museum. We're a nonprofit, 501c3.
Right.
And they insisted that I tell the truth. They wanted to be certain that I was telling the truth.
Sure.
And so they took me to their friend or an acquaintance that they knew. I didn't know him, but he did polygraph tests for the Springfield Police Department for 28 years.
Gotcha.
And he did not believe in UFOs.
Gotcha.
Well, I passed that one.
Out of curiosity, I mean, once you're strapped in taking a lie detector test, was there any reaction from the person giving the test when you passed?
Absolutely. He wouldn't discuss it with me. He discussed it with the others. And from what they've told me, and this is hearsay, what they told me was he said, this man was the most honest man I ever talked to.
Uh-huh. But such thing would certainly on the person giving the test have some large effect. I mean, if they regarded you as that honest, then what you said was the truth spilling out. So,
well, he said that as far as I was concerned, I was telling the truth.
Right.
Gotcha. Whether this really happened or not, I thought it happened.
Right. Understood. And so you then took a second one somehow, right?
Well, the reason I took the second one was years later.
Yes.
They called me from UK. Flame TV, and wanted to know if I would be interested in doing a TV show for England that will not be shown over here. And as long as they paid all the expenses, I said, sure, the world should know about this.
Okay.
And so they insisted that I take another polygraph test, and believe it or not, it was another police officer.
It's totally believable. They get a lot of them. And so away you went again.
Right.
And passed the second one with flying colors.
Yes, and this one was a lot more detailed questions.
All right, but again, getting to the part where you went from thinking it might be military to believing extraterrestrial,
right.
it was what? The scientist there that did it, or what?
One scientist.
One scientist who said...
He told me that would be three or four days before they could get an analysis.
Right.
It was three or four weeks. And I had his phone number at home, and I was anxious, and I called him at home. And he blurted it out. He said, "This is something that I've been looking for all my life. It's definitely extraterrestrial." So naturally, I didn't know anyone was going to deny it or lie about it. I went around telling my friends and everybody else that this guy said it was extraterrestrial.
You probably thought, "Boy, I've hit the jackpot."
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, I thought the whole world was going to know about it. I thought, "Boy, this will make the mainstream media, and everybody will know that that there is something else out there besides us."
Bob, there's one other, well, more than one, but one important question I want to ask, and maybe there's nothing to this, but in so many cases of close encounters like the one you had, people end up with missing time. I wonder, during this whole encounter thing, was there any distortion of time or any missing time that either Jan or yourself noted?
No.
All right. How did it end up with Jan? I mean, you guys were on your way to Las Vegas, and you had this experience. After this experience, did you just continue on your way with this in the trunk, or how did it end up with Jan?
Well, I can't say, I can't malign someone else. Let's just say that we partied company in the first night in Las Vegas, and I came back on the bus.
And you came back on the bus?
Yes. And the first person to laugh at me and ask me how much I had to drink or what was I smoking was my brother.
Well, did you, let's see if we can broadly ask about this, did you have more than a casual relationship with Jan?
No.
No.
I didn't.
You didn't.
But she did with someone else.
And so there was a disagreement of some sort that developed.
I didn't like what she was doing.
I see.
I had nothing to do with her intimately.
Right. But somebody else.
What she was doing involved me, and it didn't look good.
Okay. And so you freaked out and headed back from Las Vegas,
right,
with the peace in tow.
Right.
And you kept it to yourself, I take it.
Yes.
Okay, so there's where we leave Jan in the wind.
Right.
So Jan's out there somewhere.
Yes.
Usually when an experience like this occurs and you get back in the car and you're on your way to Las Vegas,
right,
two people would normally sit and talk about what
we
just
did.
Happened to them.
We did. When we stopped at this little diner, we were talking about it, and there was only two tables in this diner right behind the counter.
Right.
And behind us. And we were talking about it at the counter. And one of the guys got up and came up to me. He said, you people saw something out there tonight, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, we saw some lights." And he said, "Well, have you reported it?" And I said, "No. I don't know who to report it to, and why would I?"
He concluded this because he heard your conversation with Jan?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
And he said, "Well, we see them here all the time."
Oh.
But he said, "We report them, and they won't do anything about it. Maybe coming from a couple of outsiders, they'll do something, they'll investigate."
Did you pipe up and say, "Guess what? I got a piece of one," or
no,
something?
No.
No.
No. But he gave me a telephone number to call, and it was a local number. So I called it, and it sounded like a person of authority on the other end. And he said, "Well, we didn't pick up anything on radar." And he said, "What you saw was probably some a reflection of headlights or some swamp gases or something." And you know the thing that really upsets me?
Good old swamp gas. Yes. What?
All these brilliant scientists. Now, I have a seventh grade education, and all these brilliant scientists say, "Well, possibly what you saw was a falling star."
Hmm.
I have a seventh grade education, and I know there's no such thing as a falling star.
Well,
why don't they?
They don't fall and then hover and then join other falling stars while hovering. They just don't do that.
No, they don't. They're not stars anyway. They're meteorites.
Well, may well be. At any rate, you've got something serious here. You've got a, well,
yes.
You know, I was sort of joking, but I mean, this could be an excretion. It could
I don't know.
Be. It could be. I mean, it could be some big monster up there picked its teeth or something, and look what fell out. It's really hard to say. Are there any thoughts among us?
It's surprising you should say that, because I called it space doo-doo.
Well, you sure wouldn't want to meet whatever excreted something like that.
No, I wouldn't.
And flaming at that, right?
Right.
No, you wouldn't want to meet that being. So anyway, it was what the scientist said to you that made you believe you'd
I called him, and he just blurted it out, and I thought, well, you know, everybody will want to know this, and so I told everyone. I didn't know I was supposed to keep it quiet.
And they turned around, checked with the scientist, who said, I never said anything
of
the sort.
Well, my friend at the newspaper called him.
And I see. Well, that would do the trick.
Well, yeah.
And so the newspaper fellow called Los Alamos. And,
yes.
Yes, I get the picture.
Yeah, Mike O'Brien, he worked at the News Leader here, and he did two or three write-ups on this.
Uh-huh.
And when I told him that, he said, boy, that's great news. I'll call him and check with him. I said, yeah, you do that.
That'd be big news, all right. And came back to you and said, guess what?
Yeah, he denied it.
Huh.
Well, I can understand why.
And so included in both of the polygraph tests you took, or was it just one, the question about what the scientist had said?
Yes. And also I named his name.
Without giving his name, do you recall how the person giving the test asked you that question? Do you recall what it was?
Yeah, the first one, George Larvey, I had to do a sworn affidavit and take it to him.
Right.
And his name is in my sworn affidavit. I told him everything that happened.
Sure.
And so he asked me about that.
So from the affidavit, he concocted
yes.
the question.
Yes.
I've got it. Okay. Well, what are you going to do with it?
Who knows? And it's still just trying to, you know, get it out there to the world.
What do you want to happen?
What I want to happen now is I want the world to pay attention, and I want these scientists to get their heads out of the sand, and I want our government to come clean.
So
I don't believe will ever happen.
You believe that our government is well aware?
Oh, absolutely.
That we're being visited and is not admitting to this. Why?
Well, common sense. And I found that most scientists, that scientists don't use common sense. If it hasn't been in the textbook, it hasn't happened, and it will never happen. But common sense tells me, look, we're the most powerful nation in the world. Right?
Yes, we are.
We can't control our skies, being that given that that UFOs exist.
Well, that
they
Bob,
go
might,
as they please.
Bob, that might be the exact reason why they don't say anything about it. Our military is all about control, and if they
That's
don't
right.
have control of even their own skies,
we can't.
Then they're very unlikely to admit that to those.
It was a panic, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly would. It certainly would. So they had no radar on this.
None.
You were fortunate to have someone to call, Bob, because I was lamenting about this last night. If you have a sighting, perhaps there was a day in America when you could pick up the phone and call a close-by Air
right.
Force base or something and report it. These days, if you call an Air Force base, as it said in the email I got, you're going to be turned on to some airman or something who doesn't have the slightest idea what to say to you and
you're right.
may write down what you say and pass it on to a lieutenant who will laugh and throw it away.
You're right.
Our government officially doesn't investigate this kind of thing anymore. Not after Blue Book, Bob.
I know. But there's so much more to this story, just so much more that I have learned since then. I have read and studied books and talked to scientists here, and I have learned so much that it's just impossible for anyone to deny that this is, if like the Kansas City Star, when they printed the article, and I'm very grateful for that, they left out a lot of things. They didn't call Dr. Gibbons. They didn't say that he's an ex-NASA scientist. They just said, Mr. Gibbons,
mm-hmm.
Robert Gibbons.
Yes.
And I want to make one correction. when I told you where we were when we saw this, I said east of Grand Junction. It was west.
It was west of.
Yeah, Grand it was Junction. Closer to Cisco, Utah.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of things could happen after all these years. Jan
yes.
could be out there somewhere.
Yes.
And she might be willing to corroborate your story. That, of course, would, if it came along, be another story in itself.
It'd yes, it would.
Blow this whole thing back up again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this piece of metal that we're looking at, Bob, it's aluminum, and what else, if anything?
32 different rare earth elements that they've found so far, and there's a small percentage missing.
32?
Yes. Things like gadolinium, strontium, europium, magnesium, manganese, aluminum, of course, but no tin. And they found two meteorites from Mars, and one, the guy that worked on it, worked on the meteorites from Mars, and they knew they were meteorites from Mars, and they did isotopes on strontium.
Those are the ones that were in the news fairly yes. recently in the last few years, right?
Yes. Well, the same guy worked on my object. And my readings fall right in between the two from Antarctica and from India that are from Mars. But yet they deny the measurements. This guy denies the measurements, said they're not accurate. He did the work on it for both of these things. He participated in it, and he did this for the trying to think of the
Is it true, Bob, this object is not stored in the same place every day?
Mine?
Yes.
I wouldn't leave it running in the same place.
So you literally move this thing around every single day to a new location?
Well, there's five of us on the board of directors, and nobody knows who's going to have it.
So you're that concerned?
Absolutely.
And you wouldn't leave anybody alone with it? You wouldn't send it off in mass for analysis, put it in UPS, and send
sure.
it?
No, well, of course not. No. But I would take it. The guy that did these helped do these measurements and did it for the Field Museum in Chicago.
Ah, yes.
And the lady there, I can't pronounce her name, is Dr. Waha or something like that.
Yes.
And the measurements are the same as mine. Mine falls right in between the two.
All right, listen, buddy. Thank you for coming on the air and telling your story tonight. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you.
And
Art.
You take care. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Right. I do. Affirm this for you, once you've seen something, or make that twice in my case, you're never quite exactly the same person ever again.